All right, good morning, everyone. Julie has put more handouts in back if you need them on the Holy Spirit as we continue on. And let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We pray for your goodness and thank you for your goodness through the ups and downs of life. We thank you that we can be here as a church family to study your word, to mourn together, to laugh together, and just to bask in your presence. Help us to appreciate you, Holy Spirit, and what you do for your glory in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, if you were here last week, and I know people are starting to get back from Thanksgiving, I want to apologize. I felt a little disjointed last week, and I couldn't go away, and I'm not happy with, you know, how if I rightly conveyed God's word. So on your outline, we've looked at the person, the deity, the personality. The Holy Spirit obviously is the third person of the triune God. And we have been looking for the last couple of weeks at his work and the umbrella, if you will, to summarize his primary role in the world, in creation, is to glorify Jesus Christ. That's sent by the Father and the Son, and he primarily glorifies Christ. So right there, that ought to answer a lot of questions about how much we should be into and autonomously worshiping the Holy Spirit. God, he is God, but his primary role, John 15 and 16, we read all those passages a few weeks ago, is to glorify Christ. And we've been looking at other areas of his work, which involves glorifying Christ. So he Marilyn. Yeah, and thank you. And you know, the old joke, if God can use Balaam's ass to speak his word, I can be a donkey every now and then. And that's one of the roles we're going to get to today. The Holy Spirit's role is ultimately the one who teaches and reveals himself. But thank you. Thanks, Mom. Okay, but we looked at then he glorifies in evangelism, convicting the world of sin, righteousness, judgment. That's John 16. Last time we looked at he glorifies in salvation. And one of the things I tend to do, I love the depth of theology, but sometimes I don't think I do a good job of taking the depth of the theology and, you know, helping folks understand why that's important. Gee, Dieter, you know some big words. Great. What does that mean to us? And so I need your help in doing that. So I just want to rehash a little bit last week some of these words. And why is that important in your life? Why does it care? You know, who cares if, you know, the old so what? I always used to put so what? So what? Okay, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit regenerates, makes alive. So what? Why is that important? Okay, we are. And spiritually dead, you know, that's, yeah, I mean, that's one of those obvious things that, oh, you think we're all just dead, rotting corpses. Spiritually, yes. Physically, I'm starting to feel that way. We all are in this church. We can understand the analogy, but if we are dead, what can dead people do for themselves? Okay, I mean, just little simple things that, yeah, that ought to help us with other areas about who God is, that it is by God's grace and mercy. Praise Him, not me and my goodness. Okay, here's the one, baptism. Why is the baptism of the Holy Spirit important? And then see, that's so the one baptism. Remember, we looked at those Ephesians 4, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. So the primary baptism is this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I think I got a little too esoteric, big word, but I got a little too much into the Greek, that term, how it's used biblically and how that has been hijacked, that, you know, that baptized with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, and people try to make a big difference. And I tried to show you what the Bible says about that. And I feel like I get a little too, you know, it's all Greek to me. So, but the picture of the Holy Spirit and His baptism, then that shows up in why do we do water baptism? And what does that show? And we have different modes, different ways of baptizing. What are the pictures in that baptism that I think is just the depth and the richness of theology? So why is the baptism important? I mean, okay, it is a symbol. Very good. Okay, a symbol and a witness. One of the roles, especially for people that tend to lean more towards baptistic, small b, baptism by immersion, it's the identifying with the death, burial, and bodily resurrection. And it's mainly, you know, it's a symbol to show the world that I'm identifying with Christ. And, you know, in culture today, we could care less. But over in Syria, that just got taken over by a bunch of jihadis, if Christians go out to the river and are baptized, that's a public testimony that they are Christians. In this new regime, the Sunni radicals, that could be an appointment with death. So you are, it's a symbol of, I want to identify with Christ. What are some other modes and what are some other pictures of water baptism as a picture of the real baptism? You got that? The real baptism of the Holy Spirit that spiritually saves. Janet. And I will say, from a Lutheran perspective, you know, then we get into, you know, do we sprinkle baby? What does that sign? What does that show? But that is a little bit of a picture of the regeneration. And those that are biblically more literate, it is sort of looking back to circumcision in the Old Testament. You weren't a part of the people of God, the Jewish people, unless you were circumcised. That's why boys didn't go to church. But that is a picture of what God is doing and has done, the Spirit has done, but that is a powerful symbol of basically circumcision and the sign of the covenant, God's covenant with His people. Once again, God keeps his covenant, even though we are faithless sometimes. Think of, I mean, all those, the study of when we went through Hosea, when we went through Ezra. Look at what the Israelite people did, you know, neglecting God, going after idols. But yet God kept his covenant. And the story of Ezra was about that covenant. And look what God did. He brought the people back despite how wretched they were. Anybody else? Do we have any effusers here? Effusion, that's pouring. What could that picture? Okay, so water is a picture of spiritual cleansing. That's Ezekiel 36. That's what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, Nick at night. Do you not know that the Holy Spirit is who washes you and cleansing? So washing away sins. Baptism by immersion more so, but actually any mode of baptism, off with the old, on with the new. That's part of, you know, Paul talks about put off your old clothes, put on the new. In fact, I think we did a sermon years ago about clothes make the man, and we need the new clothes, the righteousness of Christ. The baptism, I already talked, identify with Christ's burial and resurrection. 1 Peter 3:21 talks about the spiritual reality, which of course all this water is pointing, you know, it is a symbol. It's not so much the water, it's what the water is picturing, and as a sacrament or an ordinance, it is a commanded thing that God, you know, that is one of those things that God wants our obedience to represent, to show what he is doing spiritually through the Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians 12:13, that's the one for why by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. So that's why when people, the church, argues about mode and goes to war over the mode, you know, we're emphasizing the water, we're emphasizing this, we're missing the unity of the body of Christ. So baptism should not divide. That's why when we talk about, baptism with the Spirit, in the Spirit, trying to make two separate spiritual baptisms, that can cause divisions in the church. And there are then sort of the spiritual elite. How many? And in fact, I think I've told this story. When it comes to water baptism, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you have been baptized? Don't need to raise your hand. How many of you have been baptized three times like me? So I am more spiritual than you. Yeah, you think. Depending on the camp you're in, the more baptisms shows you're, they're like notches of coup on a, what is it, a tomahawk or something.
Must have had something to do with your attitude.
I'm glad you realize that. I'm kidding, but there are people that really believe that, and they are missing the point that the water in and of itself does nothing. It is what God is doing through the water, sure, but more importantly, through the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:21. You can read that verse later, but that's talking about, you know, not the water of, you know, some physical water like Noah's flood, but a clean conscience, a spiritual thing. So that's why that's important. So it's not just, oh, okay, gee, great, I've been baptized with the Spirit. But one baptism is especially important to prevent division. And believe me, I've run into, you know, in Baptist churches, for example, the division of, and that's one of the reasons of my my third baptism, I would say I was just getting wet to make the pastor happy. But that was sort of a divisive thing, the baptisms I had before were not good enough. I needed to do it the way they wanted me to do it. See, and that fosters a sense of division. Okay, how about a Gloria?
Long time ago.
Hey, Gloria. I'm sorry, not. See, that is where different, we'll call it traditions, look at it differently. And different modes, how we baptize with water. Hopefully all of us recognize it's really more spiritual than just how we do it. But different traditions do it differently. And hopefully they have theological reasons for why they do it. And that's, I would say, unfortunately, a lot of folks, you know, me include, all of us, don't understand what we say we believe. And so if you come from you have a Catholic background, don't you?
My sister does.
Your sister does. Okay, they have a different view of the sacraments. And if you actually, you know, helped educate them, educate Catholics or somebody else on their why they do it that way, going back in history and biblically, there are some very good pictures like sign of the covenant, like regeneration. You know, those are all good pictures that I would say, you know, on the other extreme, Baptists don't, sometimes they will overlook that depth. They just say, well, I made a choice, you know, it was all up to me, and so now I'm going to get wet for Jesus. Isn't he lucky that I got wet for him? Okay, so it's not, I will not say it's wrong, but you better know why you're doing it, just like anything. So, and sorry, I said Gloria, you know, I should have called you Bob. Sorry. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, say that again. Right. Okay, and you're illustrating a little bit of what Melody said, that if you don't understand, and I run into people, say I'm, well, when people, none of you find saints, but as a pastor, you know, I'm a pastor. So what is your faith background? You know, I try to frame it gently, but the bottom line is, why should God allow you into his heaven? A lot of people will say, I was baptized. Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? And I've been a murderer ever since, but I was baptized. And so different modes can lead to different, putting different importance on the act itself. Roman Catholics have a phrase, opera, now see, I'm blanking, sorry. A Latin phrase, who cares? It means by the work performed. Opera ex operato, something like that. By the work performed. Just because you got wet, some denominations who really don't understand what the Bible actually says, I would argue, think that by doing that work, see, that's a work, I got wet the way the church told me to, then I'm saved. And so people will look back at their baptism and say it is required. The water baptism is required for salvation. And then good old Baptists, you know, like me, right? Small B Baptists will say, well, the thief on the cross was not baptized. How'd he go? Well, he was baptized by Jesus' blood. It spurred on him. Okay, you know, there are all sorts of fanciful eisegesis, meaning putting into God's word what trying to prove our point. Nobody here, if you haven't been water baptized, stop disobeying, get baptized. Okay? It is a command, but that does not save you in and of itself. Ultimately, the only baptism that saves is what we're talking about here, the Spirit baptism. And we represent that, those different meaning, you know, the different meanings, I said, washing away sins, things like that. So it's important that we recognize ultimately where our salvation came from, and then why wouldn't we obey Christ, God, and be baptized with water. So, Janet, sorry. And I will just point out that is a, you know, that first of all is a disputed text. So you want to be careful with doctrine on disputed text, but that is what the rest, that is not contradicting anything else in Scripture. The operative term there is believed, and then you obey and get baptized. That is shorthand for believing. Because back in the Old Testament, in the New Testament church, you know, to paint with a broad brush, Paul could not conceive of a Christian who was not baptized. It just didn't happen. You believed and were baptized. It's a command. I mean, read Acts chapter 2. You know, 3,000 people were believed and were baptized. So, you know, we struggle with this because we are so individualistic. And why do I need to do that? That's silly. I don't understand it. I don't care. God told you to do it. And so the operative word is believing, and part of that salvation that we were talking about last week, and sorry, I'm getting a little more in depth on this, but trying to show why the spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit is then what puts you, he is the agent that puts you into the sphere, the family of Christ. That's what saves you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, for us to recognize whether it's children, you know, infant baptism, whether it's believers' baptism, whatever it is, we are celebrating, picturing, identifying, recognizing the spiritual cleansing, hopefully recognizing the unity that we all have, no matter how we were all baptized with water. If you are a believer, we have one baptism that counts. So why are we going to fight over the water? So, you know, that there's books written, the waters of divide, or, you know, that just, we in the church love to quibble over things that are not, you know, well, we agree on that, maybe. So let's fight over this. And we are so good at that, and then the world wonders why, you know, what kind of witnesses we are. So, then, Diana, are you Diana?
In the Old Testament,
he was anointed by Samuel, by God, what did he have in his heart?
That's what we're going to try to get to today. Anointing, indwelling, filling with the Holy Spirit. These are terms. But bottom line, to be saved, you have to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You are regenerated and saved. You know, they didn't use that term baptized in the Old Testament as much. It showed up, you know, as different terminology that came clearer in the New Testament. Maybe I should do a sermon. I did a sermon on baptism, just in general, in the Old Testament. John the Baptist's baptism. Why did Jesus get baptized? Was he a sinner? Did he need to get baptized for his sins? So why did he? See, things like that are we have to think about. And then what are the modes, the meanings of what we have done in the church over 2,000 years? If any of you have a Roman Catholic background, at one point I will give the Roman Catholics. Back in the day, when they were in charge, everybody agreed the same wrong thing, but at least we were on the same page. Once the filthy Protestants and that boar in the vineyard, Martin Luther, drunken German monk, started causing trouble. Now we can't shake a dead cat without hitting 15 different Baptists, 13 different Methodists, 3 different Presbyterians, 3 different Lutherans. I mean, even the Catholic Church now is, you got the old Latin Mass, you got the Vatican II, you know, and then you have St. Francis, the Pope, who's a heretic. Sorry, I didn't say that, Pope. So, all right, do you see my point, hopefully? See, now I'm doing what I did last week, and I'm sorry.
When I was looking for a new church, this baptism question was huge for me, being a Lutheran, and baptism. And people, when I was talking to different churches, would say that I needed to be
re-baptized. Very good. Very good.
And that was really a divisive thing, trying to find a place where that wasn't a requirement.
And here's where now I'm unashamedly a Baptist, small b, you know, not Baptist, although I am ordained by the Baptist, capital B, Southern Baptist, but Baptistic in my ecclesiology, in the way I look at the ordinances. You know, I just agree that this is more accurately represents, you know, that's just where I've come down. But Baptists can be the worst, and that's why I got wet. I had been baptized by immersion by Chuck Smith, if you know who he is, Calvary Chapel. Do you remember Chuck? What a godly man. In the Jordan River, I was baptized by immersion in the Jordan River. And then when George and I, tell me if I'm telling this story now wrong or embellishing it for preaching points. But when we joined a very independent, fundamentalist Baptist church in Jacksonville, Florida, godly pastor, he really protected the sheep. He was Brother Bill loved that man. And Georgia had been saved in a Southern Baptist church and was baptized Southern Baptist where her father went in a town near ours in Illinois. When we went to join this church, First Coast Baptist Church, what did Brother Bill say? Yeah, one of the first questions out of his mouth. Have you been baptized? Yes. Yes. In Georgia. Georgia was baptized in a Southern Baptist church. That'll do. And I said, yes. By whom? Chuck Smith in the Jordan River. Who's Chuck Smith? You know. And so it wasn't even a question. It was, you'll get baptized here. And me being the agreeable guy I am, you know, not wanting to cause waves. Ha ha, where's Howard? Cause waves in the baptism. Because this was the church that had a swimming pool up front for baptisms. You know, and I said, I don't care. So I got wet, rebaptized. Just, you know, even though I was an immature believer at the time, but recognizing, at least in my mind, probably more apathy than anything, but not wanting to cause division. So instinctively, I sort of got the, let's not cause division on this. I'll get wet. If that'll make you happy, I'll get wet. Yeah, and now looking back, I'd be my normal winsome self, but I wouldn't do it. Because afterwards, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit, who I didn't probably listen to much at that time, but after I got wet that Sunday, a sweet little lady came up to me afterwards and said, I am so glad you got saved today, young man. And I thought, so I've reinforced this misunderstanding of baptism, rebaptism. So long story there, good for you. Do you remember one of the questions I asked you when you wanted to join here? Yep. And, you know, and did I say you're going to get baptized again? But what did I clarify? Okay, you're going to have to come. Tammy's going to have to reapply for membership. But I asked you if you understood the Lutheran view of baptism in a biblical way, and you weren't just being stubborn or something that, no, I won't do it. What if you were wrong? Well, I'm still not going to do it. You can't join. You wouldn't do that, of course, but I've asked that to people. Believe me, I've gotten letters from him. And he says, thank you so much. All right, so we're not going to get to any new stuff. Any other comments on this? Because hey, I should do another sermon strictly on baptism. The whole point today was we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can you see what kind of questions it brings up? And my reasoning here is, do we understand what the real one baptism, one Lord, one faith, one baptism? And thank you to Marilyn. That was a great introduction, that our modes, the things we fight over, we need to recognize they are symbols. I mean, powerful symbols with very important, here's a big word, efficacious. You know, there are, you know, it's not just water, who cares? You better understand what it means and why it is important. But ultimately, is it a picture, symbol, all those meanings we talked about of what the Holy Spirit has ultimately done? One baptism. So Ephesians 4, George just took off. Kelvin, would you read Ephesians 4, 1 through 6?
Ephesians 4, 1, 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, all lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Stop right there. What are some very important words? just right there. Lowliness, gentleness, preserve unity. Okay, and it starts off with a therefore. You've all heard the saying, if there's a therefore, you want to see why it's therefore. Well, the first three chapters of Ephesians are Paul talking about the wonderful blessing we have and what God has done. You know, by grace you've been saved through faith. And so then when he gets to chapter 4, therefore, walk the walk worthy of your calling. Every one of those words is important. And that's behavior. So our belief should lead to our behavior. What comes down from heaven should show up in our home. So unity, we want unity. And that's one thing I like about it. You know, this church family, we come from all different backgrounds, you know, and I've told you this before, or some people used to get a little upset about this. I don't like the analogy of a salad. I want to emphasize the salad bowl. We are all unified as Christians in the bowl of Christ's body. Continue, sir. You catch that? What word jumped out there? One. 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 Now we have different denominations. I have no problem with that. You know, those are preferences. Hopefully, some people make our preferences, convictions, and absolutes. I've done a sermon on that. The difference between, do you know the difference between an absolute, a conviction, a preference, and an opinion? We're Americans. We like to make our preferences or our opinions required. You're not going to heaven unless you sing the same songs I do. And that's what we fight over, those things. And we don't even know the absolutes. So if you don't know these, I guess you fight over these. So, all right, so that's... So I want do want to, so now you're just getting the review. So why was regeneration important? We talked about that. Why was baptism, Holy Spirit glorifying in salvation? Regeneration, baptism, and then adoption. Why is that important? And we had Scott and Sue had some wonderful illustrations. Why is your adoption? Why do you care? So what? More personal, yeah. And what does that word adoption bring to mind? You know, because when we're talking about Christ and the work of Christ, we use words like righteousness, justification, sanctification, big words. Those are justify, especially. That's a legal term. Oh, the loving, warm embrace of the law courts. No. Adoption brings it home, makes it personal, makes it family. A belonging. Yeah, we belong. We're not just, you know, okay, you're innocent, you're free to go. No, we have adopted, I have adopted you, says God, into my family. So, any comments on that? Scott.
Just, you know, if you look at what the therefore is for, when you look at adoption, I think you have to look, sooner or later, if you're wrong, but you have to look at what were you before. You know, even in the 60s, if you lose both parents, all of a sudden you lost an anchor. You know, you don't have that. Imagine that as a kid. You lost that anchor, you don't have that parent anymore, and you feel like you're out there with nothing. And as a child, that being left with nothing is like being tossed into an ocean with waves. there's that person that wants to adopt you, reaches down and grabs you by the collar, holds you and gives you a hug and warms you up. It's more than just taking somebody in. It's wrapping somebody that has nothing.
And notice how the Air Force guy had to go to Navy analogies to express this.
There's a reason I didn't.
But that's, see, that is, so, you know, I mean, I assume, well, we could go around and share, you know, if at the human level, see, once again, what Sue and Scott especially, and we probably all have stories, you know, in my family, adoptions, you know, where we are now part, we have an anchor, I like that, and part of a family. I had a great thought. But it's a sense of belonging more than the cold, dry legal paper that says you're adopted now. No, it's you are actually a child, sons and daughters of Abba. We have the privilege of calling God Father. And that's, folks, if any of us have ever had bad childhoods, you know, or parents that got divorced, we should understand how important that is. Now, think of it at the eternal perspective. And so, you know, those are, thank you, Scott. Thank you, Sue, from last week. So any other thoughts on that? Were you loved as a child? You know, I look to the praise of God's glory. I look at my family and just a human family and just the amount of love and the earthly father I grew up with. You know, I have no problem thinking of a heavenly father. Some people, you know, grew up with abuse. Father ran off. They can sometimes have a hard time understanding a father. I don't like father. That's a bad word in my house. Try to get over yourself and imagine, what if you had that perfect earthly father? That's the heavenly father, adoption. And that is a work that the Holy Spirit applies to our life as God's children. So, any final comments? Disagreements? Personal abuse? And you can abuse me? But where's Georgia? And she gone, but she has a saying, I don't care what you guys think of me. Jesus is rather fond of me. So, go away. All right, so next week, did that make sense? Okay, did I maybe amplify or help last week? At least in my head, I think we did a little better this week. Once again, I worry about, you know, I know what I'm saying, but do those folks have any clue what I'm saying? Next week, we will be looking at Christian living. So now we've talked about heaven. Now we're going to bring it home. How does the Holy Spirit help us live God-honoring lives? And we'll pick that up. He glorifies in Christian living on the outlining. And Julie got more printed out. So, all right, final questions. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the depth of your word and how you reveal yourself to us. But let it seep into our hearts so that we can understand why these things matter. So what? Holy Spirit, help us to understand and live the so what, so that we can be a people who better bring praise and honor and glory to our Heavenly Father, to whom we can cry, Abba, because of what you have done for us. Bless our time as we go in the main service and just celebrate with Giles and Angel and their travels and just what you are doing around the world. Once again, thank you. We can be part of that. We give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.